And when you find that chapter in the Word of God, let's stand together and we'll read one verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read verse number 22. The Bible said, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones." Now may God add His richest blessing to the reading of the Word of God. Our Father, we thank You this morning, Lord, for the good singing we've enjoyed, and Lord, the good fellowship from the people of God. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for the help in Sunday school. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that You've given to us. I pray that You'll open up the Scriptures to us today. Move our hearts to Thee. Save every sinner that's under the sound of my voice. Bless Your people. Help Your people. Meet every need. Strengthen every life. I do pray especially today for Lisa that You'd help her at home. Touch her body. Help the baby. And we'll thank You for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to read that verse of Scripture again. "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." I used to preach, I'd get a thought or I'd get a title and try to put a message to it. Seems like here lately I've been getting the messages and can't find the right title for it. And so I simply want to preach this morning on the thought, when faith manifests itself in Joseph's life. When faith manifested itself in Joseph's life. I don't really know the significance here, but you know, when we read about Jacob, the Bible said there that when he was a dying, but it says here about Joseph when he died. He wasn't a dying, but when he died, at the point of death, Joseph still, by faith, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel from a 450-year captivity back into the land of Canaan, and also mentioned his bones. You know, by him simply mentioning his bones, he realized there'd yet be a time for him to be there in that land before his bones were carried back into the promised land. And so I want to try to preach for a little while this morning on faith manifested. If Joseph had faith when he died, then certainly there were times in his life that he had faith also. And I want to try by the help of God to preach that if I can for a little while this morning. Let me say by way of introduction that Joseph is without a doubt the greatest type of Christ in all the Bible. It would do you well to study a little bit on typology in the Word of God, and because types in the Old Testament always points to truths in the New Testament. And Joseph is, without a doubt, the greatest type in all of the Word of God concerning the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there are seven things mentioned in Schofield's notes. I may just brush through them for a minute. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time because I want to bring the message. But Joseph was a special object of his father's love, as was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was hated by his brethren, as was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was superior to his brethren, as was the Lord Jesus Christ. His own brethren conspired to kill him, and in a figure they did when they throwed him in that pit. And so did the brethren, the Jews, to our Lord Jesus Christ. It was him that had a Gentile bride, as does Jesus. And then Joseph, in the latter end of his life, reconciled his people, his brothers, back to him, as did the Lord Jesus Christ when he died hanging on a tree. But his faith, the Bible said that when old Joseph died, he was still in faith. I've said this so many times, but I want to say it again, that a man can only die by faith if he lives by faith. And church, the Bible has said that the just shall live by faith. I tell you, that's the greatest life that a man could possibly live, is by the faith of the Son of God that loved us and gave Himself for us. Not living by what we see with the naked eye, but living by what our heart believes and sees in the person of the Lord Jesus as promised to us in the Word of God. And there's different times in the life of Joseph when his faith was really manifest and brought to light and clearly seen. Now, I won't say this before I ever get there. You'll find Joseph nowhere bragging about his faith. Brother, I'll tell you, faith is not a braggadocious thing. Anybody that is saved by the grace of God knows that faith is the gift of God. Now, you call me whatever you want to call me, but a man's never been saved by his own faith. We are saved by the faith of the Son of God that loved us and gave Himself for us, and our ability to believe on Him is not a gift, it is the gift of God to you and I, by God's good grace, that's right. And I'm satisfied of this, if we're really saved, now look up here now, if we're really saved and walking by faith, and believe this book to be the infallible, inerrant Word of God, there's going to be times in our life when that faith will stick out like a sore thumb. I remember years ago, I got punched in the nose. I didn't like it, but I did. And nobody had to ask me, did I get punched in the nose? It was about that broad. All they had to do was look, son. It manifests itself. Say amen right there. And your faith, brother, will break out on you somewhere. You can't hide it. You can't conceal it. If you're genuinely born again by the grace of God, that faith that saved you and that faith that you're walking by will break out on you like measles somewhere, and folks around you won't have any problem detecting that you are a man or a woman that lives by faith. Now, I don't want to tarry too long on the introduction. It's already midday. And Doug, thanks for the water you didn't bring, son. It's a real blessing. But I want to mention five areas where this faith in Joseph's life was made manifest. I mean, clearly seen, pictured, evident. Now, don't nobody leave me now. I'm not looking to jump no pews. You had your opportunity when Tammy was singing. We're looking to put some truth in your heart. We're looking to uncover religious shams. I don't mean to sound ugly to you, but I am confident that there are religious shams in the houses of God that are covered under a little religious veneer, know nothing about a life of faith. They've never been to Calvary, never been born again, and know absolutely nothing about living a life of faith. Now, there's some things in the life of Joseph that I'm going to point out in the Scripture that I believe manifest the fact that he was a man of faith. May I say, first of all, that his faith was manifest in his training. In his training. Brother, that's the starting point. Train up a child in the way that they ought to go, and when they're old, they will what? Will not depart from it. Brother, I'll tell you, you're looking at a man that believes the Word of God. I've heard preachers preach, well, you train up a child and they may depart. What that means is they'll depart for a little while, but if they're really saved, they'll eventually come back and get back in church and begin to serve God. And also, brother, that's just not what the Bible says. It says if you train up a child in the way they are to go, that when they are old, they will
N-O-T will not depart from that way that they are supposed to go. And son, we find Joseph in every aspect of life, not departing from the faith, but by the grace of God, walking through valleys, trials, temptation, snares of the devil, allurements from the world, but he just kept on walking and serving God. I'm going to tell you why. I believe he had the right training. See, so many people don't even know what it means to train up a child. Well, they don't know what it means to train up a child. Do you want your child to turn out right? Start him right. I say it again, you want your youngin' to turn out right? Then start them right. If you let them get 5 years old, you might fail. Brother, I'll tell you when training them starts, when they're born. Somebody said they're too innocent. No, they come out of the womb speaking lies. They're little lying devils when they're babies. Oh, they're cute to kitchy cuckoo and cuckoo and throw their little stinking temper tantrums and have fits and that's right and all that mess. And we'll cuddle them and pamper them because we don't want to bruise them. But I'm telling you, friend, if you don't start them out right, they are not going to wind up right for God. And Joseph had the right upbringing. I feel like preaching this morning. Won't be no shouting by, but I feel like preaching. Some people don't know what that word train up means. By the way, that's found in Proverbs 22:6. And you do know what a train is, don't you? Now, I didn't say an engine. All you do is bring one into the world and leave him to himself. All you got's an engine. Son, old Joseph. What's my text say? Joseph, when he died, made mention of the children of Israel and the carrying of his bones back into Canaan land. Brother, old Joseph didn't only have the engine, bless your heart, he had a caboose on the end of it. And I'm going to tell you, he had a whole lot of cars in the middle. Are y'all listening to me this morning? I'm going to tell you what it means to train up a child. A train is just exactly what a train is. It's an engine coupled together with a whole lot of cars behind it. Now, I'm going to tell you what training up a child is. It's coupling that child one truth to another 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 truth. And honey, when you couple about 1,500 truths onto the life of a child, it'll be hard on him when they grow old to depart from the training, the truth that they have set under all their life. I'm telling her right. I'm telling her right. I'm not bragging. I want to give God the praise that my young'un, they may fall tomorrow, every one of them. But I'm telling you, I'm glad they're doing right today. And if they fall tomorrow, it won't be God's fault. Son, it'll be my fault. And Mama's fault. That's right. Come on, Mom and Daddy. And if yours fall, bless your heart, it ain't going to be nobody's fault but yours. It won't be the preacher's fault. Train up a child in the way they ought to go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. That means starting them from a baby and hooking truths onto them as a baby. Now, I'll probably spend a great deal of time on this thought. Because God's drove it in my heart so deep. We got babies coming up in this church, buddy. A lot of little ones. And I don't want to see their little soul in hell. Amen. Now, and I don't know, hey, I don't know how long I'm going to spend on these. But in Genesis 37, if you want to, that's where the life of Joseph begins in the Scripture. And if Jacob there is in the land of Canaan, in the land of his father, where he was a stranger in that land. And it talks about the generation of Jacob. And the first thing it says about Joseph is when he was 17 years old, he was feeding the flock. Now, I want everybody to look right up here at me. Somebody said, well, that don't mean very much. I'm going to tell you what it tells me. It tells me that that boy, as a baby, was taught to have some kind of a responsibility in life, friend. So now, hey, we got a generation of mommies and daddies. All they want to do is let their kids lay on the couch and suck Pepsis and eat pizza and watch television and never give them a responsibility. And I'm telling you, we're raising a bunch of hellions at the house of God that grow up lazy, bless God, don't want to work, won't provide for their family. And then when they get married, they head to the divorce court because they're too sick and sore and lazy to get a job and work. That's right. Teach them boys when they're little some responsibilities about working. Now, when he was 17, Jacob said, go on out and feed the flock. He didn't lay down, kick, bless God, and want to go four-wheeling with the other kids on the block. He went to feed the flock. Responsibility. Teach them girls some responsibilities around the house. Let them wash a few dishes. Let them sweep a few floors. Let them teach them to make up their own bed. That's right. Teach them to wash. Somebody said, oh, I want to teach my little girl how to be a certified public accountant and work down at the bank. Yeah, raise up a hellion. That's what you'll raise up is a hellion. I'm telling you, there's nothing in the Bible to substantiate a woman out working their place is down at the house taking care of the family and the household. Bless your heart. You tell people I said that. Teach them some responsibility. Now get this, I didn't say make them your slave. Abe Lincoln freed the blacks. Some men want to raise up a big family to make them their slave so that daddy can lay on his butt. That's right. Daddy can lay on his hind end while the kids do all the working. Are you hearing me? Mama can lay and watch the soap operas while little Susie, about 7 years old, out trying to wash all the clothes and clean the house and iron the clothes and take care of the house and cook all the meals. I'm going to tell you, hey, look here. Everybody look, I don't mean to be ugly, but I can tell a man or a woman, I can tell by their actions at the church house whether they've been taught to work at the house or whether they've been raised up a lazy little devil or not. I'm talking about faith. Son, do you think he had ever made it at Potiphar's house? Do you think he had made her 13 years in the prison house? Do you think he had made her as the exalted ruler of Egypt if his daddy had just turned him over to the world and let the world raise him? No! Listen to this. He taught him obedience. Chapter 37, verses 13 and 14. When Jacob called that boy to go out into the field and to check his brothers that were feeding the flock, and he said, Joseph, that boy didn't say, huh? Huh? I get so sick of that. Huh? Now, look here. Everybody listen right here. You know the three words that he said? When Jacob said, go on out there and check on your brethren. He said, here am I. You know where I believe he got that from? He had a great-great-grandpa by the name of Abraham. Right. That every time in the Bible, friend, when God called Abraham, Abraham said, here am I. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. You teach that child, when you call to say, here am I, he won't have any problem when he gets old and God calls. He'll say, here am I to the Lord's call, friend. That's right. You teach them to obey you, they won't have near the problem obeying the Lord when he calls them. We were right down there this morning, Jake. Josh. I'm going to tell you why our generation aren't getting saved. Everybody listen to me. I've seen some of our kids right here in the church. I've watched you parents speak to them. And they walk on down the aisle of the church like they got a deaf ear, buddy. They are, you know, somebody said, what is wrong with them? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with them. They're rebellious as hell in their heart. That's exactly what's wrong with them. You know one of the characteristics of the age we're living in, the last days, is children being disobedient to their parents. Now, I'm going to tell you what God gave me on that. You can take this for what it's worth. I'm going to tell you what God told me about that. That doesn't necessarily mean, I don't believe, that children just willfully outright rebel on mom and daddy. I believe what he's telling us there, that we've drifted so far from God. In the generations that went on before us, we've drifted so far from God that it's just not in their heart to obey mom and daddy. Hear what I said? It's beyond their capabilities. They've lost natural affection. They've lost their heart's desire. They're unthankful and unholy, and therefore they cannot be obedient to what mom and daddy tells them. They struggle to do it. Buddy, are y'all listening to me? They struggle. I've noticed some of my grandkids. You can try to talk to them and they'll sit and look at the wall, stare, look right through you. And you tell them, did you hear what I said? Yes, I heard. And they don't hear nothing you're telling them. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Faith in his training. He got the right start. I'm telling you, friend, it is imperative that children get the right start. If they're going to come out right, they have to get started right. Amen. Notice this. He was taught faithfulness. The Bible said there in verse number 2 of chapter 37 that he went out to check on his brethren and he brought their evil report back to daddy. He didn't join in with a bunch of sorry devils. But he come back and told daddy the truth about what was going on. He was truthful and he was faithful. And a child, friend, is not going to have that inbred into them. They come out of the womb speaking lies. And if that's right, if you want to teach them faithfulness and truthfulness, if you want them to be that way, you're going to have to teach them that way. And one of the best ways to teach them that way is set the example before them yourself. Amen. And look here now. Don't you break that child's spirit. You break the spirit of a little boy, you might wind up with a queer on your hand. Son, I'm telling you, a little boy has got some spirit about him. You break his spirit as a man, you may just have a little girl on your hands, buddy, before you know it. That's right. If you just scowl down and cow down and scowl at them, hey, I'm telling you, that's right. I mean, and I've watched some of you correct your youngins. Somebody said, I know who you're talking about. I hope you do. That's the point today. He taught him respect. It was shown up when he was exalted in Egypt. He proved that he had respect for his parents. He honored Jacob when he brought him into the land of Egypt. Are you hearing me? That proved that he had something back here. God help us. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first and great commandment, the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thy days may be long upon the earth. You better teach them to respect you. Hey, mama, I'm telling you, not the old lady. And men, you not the old man. No, sir. If I wouldn't let one of mine, I'm telling you, I catch one of mine calling their mama, old lady, huh? Buddy, I'm telling you, they in for a bust upside the head. They're going to get dentures early in life. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you're mean. No, I'm just telling you that kids need to be taught some respect. They need to be taught a little respect for their elders, by the way, too, buddy. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what's all this got to do with the manifestations of his faith? Later on, down the line. And by the way, everybody look right up here. I just might as well go ahead and blow this on out. Hey, don't try. Now, everybody listen to me now. We ain't shouting and we ain't going to shout. But I've heard people, I'm sick and tired. Are you listening to me? I is one. And I am sick and tired of hearing preachers and parents going on with this mess. Well, mommy and pun, grandma, all they want to do is spoil the kids. It might be that grandpa and grandma's got a little bit more sense than you got. Boy's getting awful quiet. You know what I see parents trying to correct their children? I see parents today, Brother George, and what they're doing. They're not trying to correct their children from evil. They're trying to correct their child from being a child. He is going to be a child. Let him be a child. You cannot correct a child from being a child because they are a child. I mean, fellas, if every time one of them just looks cross-eyed or just says one little thing or just does one little thing that you think is outside the way and ought not to be right and you jump down their throat, hey, you not trying to correct that child for being evil. You trying to take the child. What you trying to do is make an adult out of somebody that cannot be an adult. And I've lived long enough to see that. And I'm just not picking on my son-in-law this morning, son. There's some more of you in here that's got some on your hands. That's right. And some of you will have some on your hands if you don't listen to the preacher. Start them out right. Train them up the way they ought to go. Most parents will scold for doing wrong. Everybody listen now. And this is mine. I didn't give it out Dr. Spock. I didn't. It's mine. God give it to me. Most parents will scold for doing wrong, but they never teach what is right. Are you hearing me? Hey, they are quick to correct a child, to tell that child what's wrong, but for God's sakes, don't leave it halfway. Tell it what's right after you show it what's wrong. Boy, ain't we having fun. I'm trying to help us, church. And some of you sitting there, yes, that. I'm trying to help us. Now, everybody look right up here at me. No, Steve ain't all a bunch of devil. But we've all got kids. Brother, you better believe we've all got kids. And we ain't all a bunch of devils, but I'm going to tell you what we all ain't. We all ain't arrived yet. We all ain't arrived yet, son. And I'm going to tell you, you may have them walking right down the line the way they ought to walk. But I'll tell you what, if you don't hear a little admonition about it every now and then, you'll drift. You'll slack. You'll back off. You'll ease up. You'll lose your zeal. You'll lose your diligence. Amen. Hey, I don't even have time to turn there, but Deuteronomy chapter number 6, in that chapter, the Lord teaches that we're to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul. And the verse that he said, and you teach these commandments to your children. He didn't say wait till they get teenagers. Amen. Look up here now. I'm going to tell you why we've had some kids to kick out of here that we thought was right. They dressed right, looked right, talked right, but I'm telling you, they didn't have it right because they found up in their home life and they never had what they said they had to start with. And the sooner that we realize that they're lost and quit playing games and pray them into the family of God, the better off they'll be. Somebody said, you won't last long preaching like this. Brother Gene Mathias told me, it's Brother Nolan's, he said, I'll be honest, the way I preach, he said, I don't know if I'll finish my course or not. And I may not finish mine. But I'm going to tell you, when God gives me what He's given me this morning, I'm going to preach it. If it causes a devil to walk around with a hair lip, and you too. Right. Amen. Amen. Now, we find that being, and by the way, chapter number 78 of the book of Psalms talks about teaching the generation, teaching the children, generation to come, teaching them this, teaching them the joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, that they might set their hope in God. Hey, folks, if they're not trained up right, they will never set their hope in God. They'll set it in what's out there. Movies. UK. Seen a little old boy at the hospital last night walking around, had a big shirt on that had UK Wildcats. Had a big hourglass on his back, and that hourglass was just about to run out, and it had on there, your time has run out. And I thought in my heart, if that young man don't get born again, his time's whose time's run out. Wildcats never had any time, but I tell you, our kids have some time. Brother, we better get them to God while they have time, while we can get them to God. Ain't that telling it right, Brother Mike? Wonder how many parents today wishes their kids, they had their kids back so they could just do it a little differently. I wonder about some men in the Bible. What about Esau? You reckon his daddy would like to have him back, done it over again? What about Ishmael? You reckon Abraham want to do it over again? Y'all better listen to me. You've got one opportunity. When they walk down that aisle, hey, Brother Mike, when that boy sitting back there walks down the aisle of whatever church he gets married in and puts that ring on that little girl's finger, it's over, buddy. What you've written, it's too late. He's his own man, own boss, own mind. He's going to do what he wants to do. And honey, if he's been trained upright, he'll do what he has been trained in doing. He's quiet, boys. Glad he is. Ain't it bothered me. I shift the gears. See that face manifest in his training. But in chapter number 39... we find that faith being manifest in his temptation. And we ain't going to run. But if you've got some silly harebrained notion, buddy, that the devil don't know where you're living, you crazy. And if you've got some harebrained idea that you are beyond being tempted, you're naive. But I'm glad he will, with the same temptation, also make a way of escape. And you know the occasion there. Joseph's been sold down to into slavery. He's in Potiphar's house. And he's there in Potiphar's house. Potiphar has made him ruler over the whole house. He's given him charge of everything. I mean, Potiphar don't even know about the bread that's in the house. Joseph is running the whole show. Buddy, God gave me this morning. You better write this down. Get a hold of it. I'm telling you, it is good. And that man's wife come to him and said, come and lie with me. Oh, Joseph refused, and day by day she kept on badgering him until finally she tore his coat off of him and then lied about what had happened. Now I want everybody to look right up here at me. I want you to get Joseph's life. When that temptation came in his life. Now I'm going to tell you, you mark her down, it'll come the same in your life and in my life. You get Joseph. He's been sold into Egypt. He's come out of that pit where his boys threw him, where his brothers threw him. He's been sold to those Midianites. He's down in the land of Egypt. He's been sold on the Egyptian auction block as a slave. Potiphar, a very wealthy man, has bought him. He's found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He is prospering in Potiphar's house. He's got everything going his way. I mean, although he's not home with mom and daddy, he's in a strange land, but still God's hand is on him. God's a blessing him. He doesn't have a care in the world. He's got clothes. He's got money. He's got the whole rule of the whole household. Everything in that house is his except Potiphar's wife. And out of the clear blue, buddy, when it seemed like everything's going well, bam, son, the bottom falls out of her. That's when temptation comes, when we get secured, when we are falsely secured and have the idea that we have arrived and got her made. Watch out. Watch out. Son, that's when she's a-coming. Like I said last week, like a clap of thunder out of the sky, she fell on Job. Job was wealthy, had everything going his way, but like a clap of thunder, buddy. There come the devil, old Satan, in the midst of the sons of God. And God asked him, said, you considered my servant Job down there? And the next thing old Job knows, his family's gone. His finances is gone. Everything he had's gone. His friends are gone. He's sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Smooth sailing. That's when temptation comes. When you're not expecting it. Why do you think the proverb writer talks about the snare of the devil? and the net that he spread. When I was a boy, we used to set them rabbit snares. That's right. And we'd find that little sassy fries pole. Boys don't do that much anymore. Don't guess any of them does it. We'd clean off that little old pole, make a little ring around the top of it, tie a snare cord around it where it couldn't slip down in that little notch, bend it over. We'd make little sticks around the ground, put a little apple on a trigger with an apple as a bait in that thing, and put that snare cord around it. And here'd come that little rabbit, had no earthly idea there's a snare there. Are y'all hearing me? I mean, everything was going well. He had been out tomcatting all night long with Mama Rabbit, having himself a ball coming in when everything was running smooth. Had his food in his mouth, bringing the food home to Mama Rabbit and all the little bunny rabbits back at the house, trotting along as if nothing was wrong. But he saw that little apple, and before he knew what was happening, bam! Are y'all hearing me this morning? The snare nailed him. You better watch it now. You better watch it, buddy. Getting yourself in situations that can bring you grave trouble. Are y'all hearing me? I'm telling you, you better run from any situation that has the possibility of tripping you up. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe somebody in here this morning's in trouble. I believe somebody's getting ready to get tripped. Now, I'm going to tell you why. I believe you've got yourself in a situation, buddy, that you can't get out of. Better hear me. You better hear, Brother Hall, now. I'm not a whistling Dixie. That temptation came when things were calm and things were going smoothly. But the temptation came. In verse number 7, when she came and made herself available to Joseph, it said in verse number 8 that he refused and said unto her, I'm going to tell you, that's what you better do to temptation, buddy, is refuse it. Is refuse it. But God showed me this. It said on down in verse number 10, it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her, but get this, or to be with her. He would not even allow himself to be caught in the same presence alone with that woman. Men, I'm telling you, are you listening to me? Ladies, are you listening? He not only had to refuse that temptation, but he had to resist it day by day in his life. Son, she's quiet, and I'm glad it is. Because there's somebody right exactly where I'm preaching right now. You're living there. You're fooling. Oh, it seems simple. I know it seems harmless. Doesn't seem like nothing could ever come out of it. But you're flirting with death, buddy. You're flirting with a problem in your life that if you ain't careful, honey, you get boom. That's right. Day by day, Joseph said, I will not even be called in her presence. Hey, I'm going to tell you that. My Bible tells me you're to abstain from every appearance of evil. Can I say this? Y'all won't fire me, will you? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that men and women that are not married to one another ought to be left alone anywhere by themselves for any length of time, period. In fact, it is not even good. For families, for people to hobnob too closely all the time and get too friendly with one another. Buddy, you're headed for trouble. You are headed for trouble. That's right. Stay at the house. Somebody said, I need fellowship and I need company. Somebody said, I need fellowship and I need company. I'm going to tell you what we're getting ready to do. We're getting ready to have a look. We're going to have a Saturday picnic here at the church all day, pitching horseshoes, playing badminton, drinking chocolates, cooking turkeys, barbecue, and hamburgers. We're going to have a time on Saturday and have a little bit of fellowship right here at the house of God. But I'm telling you, you know what that scripture's saying? That scripture's saying that Joseph would not even allow himself to be caught in that house with that woman alone. But there come a time, buddy, when he knew not what was, and there she was. That old temptation just kept on haunting him.
And look here, folks. He wasn't looking for it. It come looking for him. Hey, you don't have to go looking for sin. Son, it'll find you. That's right. If sin will find you, you don't have to go looking for it.
That's right. Boy, she's awful quiet. Notice his request and his faith. He said in verse number 9, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Hey, everybody, look. So can you see in that? Can you see Joseph's respect that he had for that man? Church, hey, look, I know it's quiet. I don't give a... But I'm telling you, we're living in a generation that has lost all respect for marriage and for matrimony and the sacredness of the home and the family. And that's right. And the holiness of the bed that is undefiled in marriage. Son, we've done forgotten all about that. Men don't realize where they're trespassing when they crawl in bed with another man's woman. And somebody said, oh, men wouldn't do it today. You hear, this is my own statement, and God just gave it to me. Lust has no conscience. I said it has no conscience. That's right. Woo-wee! Faith. You know what kept him out of that mess? He said, I'm not going to sin against God. Be it from me. I can't. Well, why? Joseph, why can't you lie with me? Because I've been to Calvary. I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. I've been made righteous. I've been made holy. I'm right in the eyes of God. How can I do this wicked thing and sin against my God? That's right. Amen. Now we'll ease her up a little bit here. That faith was manifest in his training, in his temptation, but it's manifest in his testing. Do you know that that little incident where he did what was right led him into prison? And there, and look here, everybody listen. You're going, in your life, you're going to have to discern the difference between testing and temptation. Testing and temptation. They're not the same. He was tempted to do evil, but he was tested when it came down to his. And boy, God, I tell you, this ain't in my stuff. The thought is, but what I'm telling you is not. The testing came down, when it came to the test in his ability to love God and to live for God and to stay with God when things wasn't exactly running his way. Can I look here? Everybody, look right up here at me. I want to say this. I don't even know where my glasses are. But he was cast into that prison. Thank you, Brother George. And if you'll study your Bible, you'll find that Joseph spent 13 years in that prison for something that he did not do. Not only did he spend 13 years there, but after 11 years, a baker and a butler had a dream. And Joseph said, hey, don't forget. And he interpreted the dream and said, don't forget me when you get out of here. But 2 years went by and they had never said, and the butler, I believe, had never said a word to Pharaoh about Joseph. He said, when he did come to his mind, he said, oh, I do remember my thoughts this day. So what I'm saying is, 11 years in the prison, then he had his hopes built up that he was going to get out of that place. Oh, yeah, I'm sure when he interpreted that dream, that butler went out of there. I'm sure old Joseph went back in and told him. Other prisoners said, it won't be long now. Oh, Joseph's about ready to get out of this place. But 2 years went by, and there sat Joseph down in the prison yet for 2 years. See, delay. Now, here's the thought that I want to make. In the testing that lasted 13 years, not one time, Brother Chris, did he get bitter. Not one time, church, did he get bitter.
Can I say this to you? Can I say this to my child sitting over here this morning? That my greatest fear of Tammy's sickness is that she'll grow bitter when God fails to do when and what she thinks He ought to do in her life. I'm telling you, hey, we have got a bunch of people in our Baptist churches that's fallen, and boy, God just to give it to them, they have fallen under hard times, and rather than walk with God in faith, they've gotten bitter, hateful, mean, despicable on God. Y'all hearing me? But oh, here's the blessed part of it. Hey, what do you think would have happened to old Joseph if he had got out of that prison after 11 years? I'll tell you what wouldn't have happened. What would have happened if he had got out before 11 years? I'll tell you what wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have interpreted no dream for Pharaoh.
Right.
And without the dream to Pharaoh, there'd have been no governor of Egypt.
That's right.
Are y'all hearing what I'm trying to get across? He stayed by faith and with God through the testing, through the trying, through the trials. And God delivered him right at the exact moment when it would bring maximum glory to God and promote Joseph to the place God wanted him to have. Woo! Woo! How can you get a hold of that? God brought him out on God's own. Just like Hannah. Hannah wanted a child, wanted a child, wanted a child. But God gave her a child when Israel needed a prophet. Woo! I'm glad God knows when to take us in, how to take us through, and when to bring us out. Glory to God. That's my God. Amen. That's my God. Thank you, Brother Jerry. I'm glad I am, buddy. God knows when to bring you out of it.
Yeah, He does.
To bring the maximum glory, buddy.
Amen. That's right.
I'll guarantee it. He knows.
Amen.
Sharon, God knows when to give you a husband. Amen. Right at the exact time. Right at the exact time.
Right.
I said right at the exact time.
Amen.
Amen. When we'll walk down these aisles, when Sharon walks down these aisles in that dress, this church go absolutely bananas and... Hey, God knows! God knows! Are you hearing me? Exactly when! Don't try to kick against the pricks! Don't try to buck God's captivity! Go with God! Hey, that's why in Jeremiah's day when Nebuchadnezzar come up against Judah and old Jeremiah told Zedekiah, said, now Zedekiah, I said, here's what you need to do. He said, just go out to the king of Babylon. And if you go out, said, the city will not be burned. Your life will be spared, all your children. And said, you'll go on down into Babylon, and down there you can build houses and plant vineyards. Zedekiah said, ain't no way that in this captivity, I'm talking about, buddy, in this trial, in this captivity in Babylon, they ain't no way. You know why they sat down hang their harps on the willows and sat down on the rivers of Babylon and couldn't sing? Because they went down there outside the will of God. If God was going to send them, are you hearing me?
Amen.
It wasn't no getting out of it. God said, you're going 70 years, period. And if you'll go and build houses and plant vineyards, He said, you'll prosper down there and multiply down there. If you'll just surrender to me, you can go down there in the will of God and have a time. But if you balk,
Amen.
He said, I'm going to put out your eyes, kill your sons. Are y'all here? Folks, hear me. Brother Hall's learned this. God's give it to me. That these testings and trials and hard things in our life that we don't understand, if we'll just
submit ourselves to God and just humble ourselves, and
God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
He's got a plan.
He's got a plan for your life. Are you hearing me? God's got a plan for your life and my life. And that plan is to conform us to the image of His Son. Make us true-born children of God. And God knows how to put you in the fire, how hot to turn up the heat, and how long to keep you in there. Now, I guarantee you, when you shoot out on the other side, son, you'll be a-praising God. I'll guarantee you at the end of that 2 years when they come down there and said, Joseph, said, Pharaoh wants to see you. He said, unto God. Said, where's my best suit, boys? Said, things. Said, what does he want with me? Said, he had a dream. Joseph said, no problem, boys. I'm in like Flynn now. Woo! Yeah. Right down my alley, boys.
Yeah.
That's right. And look here. Old Joseph come out of that prison house. Interpreted that dream about the 7 years of famine, 14 years of famine, 7 years of famine, 7 years of good, 7 years of famine, 14 years. Interpreted that, and old Pharaoh said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, buddy. He said, I'm going to put you in my chariot, and I'm going to put my robe around you, and there ain't going to be nobody in Egypt with any more power but me. And look here now, this is what a lot of preachers miss. And his power didn't exceed Joseph's except in the throne. In the throne. In the throne. Again, a type of Jesus. Now get a hold of this. His faith was manifest when he was thriving. Hey, they, some folks cannot handle money and possessions. It goes to their head. But Joseph was a man that had great, I mean, he was prosperous. But look here, the prosperity did not spoil him, buddy. Money and possessions make most people nothing but spoiled brats. It didn't bother old Joseph. You know why? Because when he died, he was still made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. That's right. And he made commandment concerning his bones. And they put his bones in a hope chest. Oh, y'all are hearing me? I tell you why. When he was in prosperity, he could live by faith, is because he still had his affection on things above. That's right. It did not spoil him. Get this. You know why it didn't spoil him? Because he remembered who he was. I guarantee you when he got in that chariot, probably swelled his shoulders back and said, unto God, if mama could only see me now. Woo! Can I tell y'all something? I don't mean to. Hope you won't think that Brother Hall had a proud heart. I didn't. But I preached at Brother Nolan's on Thursday. My mom and daddy was there. Boy, soon be 86 years old, my daddy will. And the Holy Ghost turned old Brother Hall and let loose and let him preach. Raised in a family of 9. One done gone makes 10. Little old four-room house. It wasn't much bigger. All my bedroom wasn't much bigger than that baptistry, buddy. And there was about 5 of us boys at a time sleeping in there. Didn't have 2 nickels to rub together. Had to wear patches on my overalls when I went to school. Amen. Took commodity cheese, and all the other kids laughed at us because all we had to eat was that commodity cheese that they give away down at the schoolhouse to poor people. And that's right. And couldn't hardly scrape up 3 cents a day, Brother Mike, to get a cup of that chocolate milk or white milk that they had in that lunchroom. Had to scrimp and scrounge. Sometimes had to borrow 3 cents. I said 3 cents to get a cup of milk. And buddy, I'll tell you, while I was up there preaching, saw my old mom and daddy sitting back there, the thought come through my mind, whoo, if mom and daddy could see their boy now, hallelujah to God. That's right. Amen! Son, I remember where I come from. How could I get proud and arrogant and depart from the faith when God's blessed me and rewarded me? I can remember where I was when God found me, just a little old country boy, low in sin up to my eyeballs, going to hell, full of hell, and going to hell, full of sin. But the Holy Ghost found me where I was. lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He planted my feet in the heavenly way. Hallelujah to God. If I had the words of that, I'd sing it. Thank God. That's right. He did not spoil him. And he was not lifted up with pride. Look here. I know he didn't have any pride because he had no desire for Pharaoh's position. He said, I'm happy where I'm at. Just happy where God's put me. Then I'll close with this. His faith was manifest in his training, his temptation, his testing, his thriving. And then finally, it was manifest in his terminating. When Joseph died, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Is everybody listening? Joseph knew, according to the promises of God, it would yet be 200 years before they'd get out of Egypt. But he said, hey, you're going. You are going. And when you go, do me a favor. Take my bones back up yonder with you when you go.
Amen.
We are going.
Amen.
And I don't know when we are going. But he's going to take my bones.
Amen.
Yes, he's going to take my bones.
Amen.
Hey, know that, Brother Hall. Faith!
Right.
I got started right. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, I want to end up right.
Amen.
Hey, it's coming today, Brother Mike. The last trump. When the dead in Christ shall rise. And this corruption must put on incorruption. Oh, well, at Smith one night was his place, and he got all wound up, and he said, and this mortal must put on immorality. This mortal must put on immortality.
Amen.
This old body of ours is sown in weakness,
God, amen.
Raised in power, sown in corruption, raised in incorruption.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, remember my bones! The Bible said flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven, but it didn't say one thing about bones. Not one thing about bones. Jesus must have had bones in that glorified body. Said not one bone was broken. These old bones of mine are going, boy. God love them little bones. That's an inside joke y'all don't know nothing about. Oh, yes, remember my bones. Look here, and that word coffin literally means a hope chest. Sister Clayton, if you go on, I remain. I tell you what we'll do. We'll put your old bones in a hope chest. While you up there hoping, we'll be down here hoping. Woo! Michael, if I go before you do, say a few words, will you, at my grave, and drop these old bones on down in there and turn to the book of Ezekiel. Say, Lord, can these bones live again? Yea, thou knowest when the wind blows, they'll live.
Yes.
Son, as they're coming to breathe when these bones, hallelujah to God, we'll live again. Bless His holy and wonderful name.
Yes.
They'll live again, buddy. By faith.
Amen.
You've got that faith this morning. Do you have that faith? You confident that them old bones
Amen.
Will rise again? Let's stand together.